This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 5:04 here on The Fan. They call it sometimes Portland's sports leader.
I've heard that before.
That's Big Sook. He's right over there.
Hi, everybody.
My name is Isaac. We're your sports bros.
Sada.
We love you listening to us. We love you even if you don't listen to us.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Well, lots of times when people are very critical of us, and it happens from time to time on the Better You Today text line, I usually respond with, I still love you.
You do. I've seen it.
Yeah. And then most people are like, I'm sorry, I was having a bad day.
Just kidding, Big Sook.
Yeah, just respond. If someone's being a real jerk.
I love you, man.
Respond with, hey, it's all right, I still love you.
Hey, we got to stop being mean in the world.
Don't forget to show love.
That's right.
That little kid.
That's right.
Tried to teach you something.
Gots to be positive.
Yes. I find that that's usually a much better way to deal with hate. And then you do get the people that just legitimately hate you. And
don't forget to show love.
Yeah, and then at that point, there's nothing you can do. Give them the bird and move on.
I was telling this to someone today, and it's like probably my worst philosophy I've ever had, and I've had some bad ones.
Oh, yeah. I think we all have.
Yeah. I was telling somebody this just today we were talking about this, that I may be the only radio host in the country that actually doesn't want... Like, I don't care who listens. I really don't. I just want the right listeners. Like, if you get what we do, we love having you aboard. Let's do this. Let's party. If you don't, I would rather you not listen.
You don't want to make anyone angry with
no,
your...
No, I just don't care. It's
your
like...
Your propaganda hate.
Like, most people are like, oh, you got to give every... You got the most listeners possible, and you can't talk about this, and you can't... I'm like, F you to all of it. This is who I am. This is who we are. This is our show. If you don't like it, F off. There's 8 million other free shows you can go listen to.
Rob wants the right listener.
Isn't that a terrible philosophy? Yes, exactly. I want the right listener.
It is a
bit of a horrible philosophy for our business because we are a cast a wide net business.
Yes. And
but I just don't care.
Somewhere the boss is getting ready to have a talk with you. I used to do that though all the time because when I was attempting, somewhat half-heartedly, to do the whole man of the Lord thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave it a good whirl.
You did.
I used to try. People would get very up in arms over discussions we had on said
and
program.
You cared about that? Like
No. My response to them all the time, because it would seemingly be every Sunday, someone would come up, and I always had the same response. Because my kid was in the car, and I'm like, there's this wonderful thing called a dial.
Yes.
You can just... If you don't what we're saying, or if I'm talking about something that's offending you or your child, just, hook a right there and move on down the dial.
Yeah.
I want
the right listeners, man.
Yeah.
And I think after 15 years, I think we've scared off all the people that just don't. If you just don't get what we do, I totally understand that. Let's just all move on from one another, okay? Don't need you.
We just decide to
see you later.
Well, let's just be friends, right? And by friends, I mean we'll never, ever see each other again. Hey, I don't think we should see each other anymore. Let's be friends. You want to see a movie? I'd like to, but we're friends. So, no.
All right, coming up in the club tonight, 6 to 7, Fredo Cuomo.
Yeah.
You've been seeing that?
Yeah, there's some blowback.
How about that?
Yeah.
We also have maybe some Jeffrey Epstein talk, although I don't know if you want to steer clear of that story.
How about that?
I tell you, there is a lot going on with that.
There really is. That's one of those that... No matter what side you're on, isn't everyone like, yeah, that didn't happen? Like, is there one person out there that buys the official story? Like, anybody at all?
No, and that's the whole thing, is it's leading to...
On both sides. I feel like this is the David Ortiz thing, where everyone in the world went, yeah, no, that didn't happen. What, mistaken identity?
Yeah, there's just no way.
No.
Yeah, so no. Let's talk no. about it.
Yeah.
Billionaire. Because it's also one of those stories that's like, you know, it's a very sad story too, in a sense that there are so many girls, young girls that were.
Sure.
I mean, it's just not something you want to.
No, but it's also one of
those. Joke a ton about, but it's just gotten so absurd.
Well, and it's also one of those things where both sides are claiming that the other one, like had him offed. Like it's.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's a thing.
We may or may not get to that. I don't know. But if you don't like it, we don't care. That's the whole point. Also, Keystone Light is rolling out a bro promo.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this.
I have seen this.
Let's get to some hot watered down beer talk.
And we need to talk about Magic Johnson on Twitter again. Please.
What do you do now?
You haven't paid any attention to this?
I don't follow him. He's a numbnut.
You should follow Magic Johnson because he's the best worst Twitter follow that there is. And he's turning 60.
Best worst Twitter follow?
Yeah.
My money's on Darren Revelle.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best worst Twitter follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's Magic.
Or the worst best.
Magic is something else, but he's done something in honor of his 60th birthday.
I used to follow Magic and I just couldn't take his stupid tweets.
A total waste of time.
I know.
It's like, why did I waste 3 seconds reading this?
James Harden. James Harden with 42 points tonight. Looks good. Thanks, Magic.
Really, really led to the Rockets' win.
Yeah.
So if you're bringing Magic tweets to the table, they better be good. I'm warning you now.
Well,
I'm going to get pissed off.
You love your lists, correct?
Some of them.
Well, Magic has lists upon lists upon lists upon lists. He's turning 60, and he's put together his top 60 everything.
What?
1 through 60.
Top 60 all things?
All things. He's listed his top 60 films, his top 60 athletes, his top 60 athletes turned entrepreneurs, his top 60 places, 60 of them is amazing. Like who sits around and comes up with a list of you couldn't ask me to rank 60 of anything.
Someone with a lot of money and a lot of time.
Yeah, he's not running the Lakers anymore.
I'd get to like 12 and be like, I'm out of ideas.
All right, this hour, what is Dak Prescott worth? We'll talk quarterback contracts and a startling discovery that bird poop is not cocaine. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot
today.
Did you
snort bird poop?
Hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Yeah, we can call the time of death. It's over. Season's over. I hate baseball. I hate the Mariners. I hate sports. And I'm done watching them for this year. I will see you in February with Pitchers and Catchers Report. Maybe.
I would crush
Mac and Cheese.
Number five.
Well, that mighty Phillies lineup we feared going into the season is 19th in runs scored, so they fired their hitting coach, John Malley.
Yeah, it's his fault.
His replacement is 75-year-old ex-Phillies skipper Charlie Manuel.
Really?
Yeah.
They went with that?
Yeah, they love him. Apparently, a lot of baseball people say no one knows more about hitting than Charlie Manuel.
Huh.
So perhaps he can take Bryce Harper and squeeze a little more juice out of him. The NL wildcard leaders are currently the Nationals and the Cardinals by a half game over the Brewers, one game over the mighty Mets, and two games over the disappointing Phillies, who are 60 and 58.
Well, I feel better now because the Mets hired an 82-year-old pitching coach, and everyone was like, really? Well, the Phillies went 75, so we're in the same neighborhood.
Mets, by the way, 15-2 in their last 17.
Yeah, the Mets are killing it right now.
Gotta love that.
I think they're a game back, maybe half a game back of the wild card. They're right there.
Like, he literally
just
said
just went through it. That. Yeah. It's one game. It's okay.
Well, see.
All right.
It's there.
Here we go. Game. Let's move on. Here we go. Get you Gatorade and a towel. We'll get time out here in a moment. Giants wideout Golden Tate loses an appeal of his 4-game suspension. He will miss games against the Cowboys, Bills, Bucks, and Skins. Meanwhile, receiver Antonio Brown is back in Raiders camp. He says he's found a version of the helmet that he likes, which is less than 10 years old. So a ProFootballTalk.com reader is the guy who found a loophole that would allow Brown to wear this old helmet if he could find one that was manufactured after 2010, which puts it inside the 10-year window.
So you could use it for technically 1 year, but that's still not guaranteed. The NFL did not bother to try to certify or decertify this helmet. because all of them, they thought, were older than 10 years. They stopped making them more than 10 years ago. So the NFL would still have to approve this, and some people think they won't because the technology in this helmet is still outdated. So there's a chance he went through all of this, found a helmet that technically applies to this the loophole, and the NFL could still say, no, it's outdated technology, at which point, who knows what the hell Antonio Brown will do.
But he's back, and John Gruden says he does expect him to play week one.
He's not practicing, though. When asked when he was going to practice, he said, stay tuned.
When it counts, right?
Yeah.
Week one. Arizona State coach Herm Edwards announces true freshman Jaden Daniels wins his starting quarterback job. Another true freshman, Joey Yellen, will be the backup. Now, Daniels was the number two dual threat quarterback in the class of 2019, and he will become the first true freshman to start for the Sun Devils in school history. He was offered by 8 million schools. Literally 8 million schools offered him.
Seems like a lot.
Oregon, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Penn State, USC, Texas A&M. Others.
You know, the whole freshman quarterback thing just doesn't, that used to be like this big scary thing, but and we've had freshman quarterback win national championships, we've had him win Heisman trophies, just doesn't carry the same stigma that it used to carry. They come in so prepared now with all the camps and private coaches that they have. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, and I think a lot of coaches opt for the upside. Yeah. Isn't that what Manny Diaz said at Miami? He said, look, this kid's young, but God, he's shows flashes, and yep. they just would rather work with that. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson and his wife, Sierra, I can never remember.
Sierra.
Sierra Mike knows.
They are now part owners of the Seattle Sounders MLS Club.
Yeah, I saw them. They looked beautiful today. Their little press conference, they were wearing the Sounders jerseys. And
now, he's somewhat of a sports whore. I mean, he's involved in the MLB to Portland. They are involved in the MLB to Portland group. They are also a part of the NBA to Seattle group. And now, he and her are one of 11 couples that have bought into the Sounders after the original club founder, his name is Joe Roth, he bowed out recently, so it opened up some shares. He bought in. Macklemore bought in.
Oh.
So
he's got that kind of money?
It's star-studded.
Macklemore? Like downtown Macklemore?
Blazers owner Jody Allen is part of the ownership group. Also comedian Drew Carey, as you probably knew. The Sounders.
It's a
who's who up there.
He's also a member of the Yankees. Remember, he always goes around and...
Yeah, he got drafted by them. Did he get drafted?
No, I think he got drafted by the Rockies, and then somehow they worked out
Texas.
Someone, and then like he got like traded.
Clearly, we know what we're talking about.
We're on to something.
He was drafted by someone, and then they worked out like some sort of trade where he's now like he goes and does spring training with the Yankees.
And Oregon basketball loses Bol Bol, Kenny Wooten, Louis King, Paul Wyatt, among others. But today they have added 5-star center Nafali Dante, 6'11" star. He chooses the Ducks over Kentucky and LSU. This is a big get, and some are saying that this launches Oregon into the all-too-early top 15 next season.
Yeah. Well, and he reclassified. He was supposed to be a senior at, like, some school in Bel Air, Kansas, of all places. Hmm. And he reclassified.
It's ritzy there.
And, you think Bel Air, California is nice.
That's
right. You've been to Bel Air, Kansas. He played at, like, Sunshine Academy.
By the way, this kid is from Mali, Africa.
Yeah.
And we went through it in hour one. If you miss any of our hours, you can always go back and podcast them. They're available at 1080thefan.com. But in hour one, we talked about his he wrote, when he committed to Oregon, he did it by way of Players Tribune, and he wrote a piece thanking his mom for everything he'd done for her. He grew up in literally one of the, if not the, one of the most underdeveloped countries in the world, in Mali, in Africa. His dad died when he was really young, and his mother used to make peanut butter, homemade peanut butter, and she would sell it, and that's how they got him his first pair of good basketball shoes, because he said his body always hurt from playing basketball. He didn't like basketball because his knees and his feet always hurt, and his legs, you know, tall kid. And she made peanut butter, and he helped her make the peanut butter to buy him his first pair of Jordans, and he then liked basketball, and now look, he's going to Oregon. So he wrote a really good letter to her, which I think is worth a read if you want to find out about this kid. It's on the Players Tribune, and his name is Nafali Dante.
He's 6'11", again, supposed to be a senior, reclassified, be eligible to play this year, NBA-type body. It's not like Bol Bol. He's not like a string bean. And they're saying defensively, rebounding, impact right away, a little bit raw on the offensive end.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. On game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly. What is Dak Prescott worth? What should Jerry pay him? And quarterback contract talk next on The Fan.
This is a big effing deal.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, got a few baseball notes. Burning a hole in our pocket here, including A-Rod getting robbed of his jewels. But first, something we didn't get to yesterday, and that is that Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, wants $40 million a year.
Yeah. Some people are balking at that. What was said is that they offered him a salary of that would put him in the top five. I think there are some people that are going to look at this and scoff. So they're saying that the Cowboys offered him around 30. The report was that he's asking for 40, but other people are saying that's not true, that he's asking for somewhere in the $34 to $35 million range.
Well, I find him fascinating because Russell Wilson has set the market.
Yeah.
He's the highest paid guy, I think, right?
I believe you are correct because he's the latest, and that's
exactly.
I mean, that's what happens. Whoever signs the next deal is usually getting a little bit more than the guy previous.
And typically with these guys, I feel like we just kind of know what level they're at, right? Like, you know, Cam Newton's going to be up fairly soon, and you know he's going to get big ass money.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick apart Cam Newton, but he's going to get big ass money. Well, Russell Wilson, you knew he was going to set the market. I mean, this Joe Flacco, because it came right after the year he won the Super Bowl. His stock was never higher, and he set the market when his deal was up.
Yeah,
so it just keeps going.
Russell's at 35.
Yeah, and he set the market. So reportedly, the Cowboys offer Dak Prescott $30 million a year.
Yeah,
he wants $40 million a year. Who knows? Like you said, could be somewhere in the middle. But he basically wants to set the market. What I think is interesting about Dak Prescott is I don't know if he's that guy, but you could also make a case that he is that guy.
Well, you look at his numbers. They're very similar to like a Carson Wentz, and no one really had a problem with Carson Wentz. They gave him, let me look that up.
Is Carson Wentz? 30, yeah, that's a great.
They gave Carson Wentz $32 million, and I didn't see anyone freak out over that.
Carson Wentz is a great example.
Yeah.
Is Carson Wentz, how much better is Carson Wentz than Dak Prescott? Because I feel like it's quite a bit.
The 1 year.
But I may be wrong.
The 1 year before he got hurt, he had an MVP type season. But if you take that out of it, no, he hasn't been. He hasn't been.
No, I'm saying
better.
You. I don't. Just what do you think? You've watched him. How much better is Carson Wentz than Dak Prescott? Or do you think it's close?
I think it's close.
You do?
I think Carson Wentz.
So you think more Prescott than I do, I think.
I don't think that much of Wentz or Prescott. I think they're both good quarterbacks. I don't think that they can carry a team. I think that they are borderline elite, but I wouldn't say elite. Wentz has shown you that for 12 to 13 games, 1 year, he was elite, and then that's it. And he's had injury problems. I don't think Dak is dynamic throwing the ball as Carson Wentz. I think he runs the ball better than Carson, and Dak has been more durable. So I think that there are pros and cons to each one. Now, I've got the numbers for you.
I'm kind of with Souk on this one personally.
Like Wentz as much as a lot of people do?
I like Wentz. I don't like Dak that much. I think Wentz is potentially going to be a top, I don't know, like 7 quarterback in the game as long as he stays healthy. I think he's really good.
I think Wentz.
Dak does not deserve 30 million.
That's not what Souk's saying. I think I'm with you, Mike. I think we align more with that Wentz has a chance to be greatness.
See, and
and you're saying Dak and Wentz are kind of in the same box.
I do. I think Wentz.
But we all agree about Dak, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That he's so like,
I just misunderstood.
If you want to look at raw numbers, so Prescott 29 and 15, Wentz 23, 16. Completion percentage for Dak, 65.7. Wentz, 63.6. Yards per attempt, 6.5 to 6.25, so basically the same. Touchdowns for Dak, 59 to 22 picks. Carson Wentz, 67 and 28. So a couple more touchdowns, a couple more interceptions, but very similar. Now in the run game, and by the way, I do think that throwing the ball downfield, I think Carson Wentz is better. I think in the run game, Dak 177 attempts, Wentz 140. So again, very similar. Dak 940 yards to 545 for Wentz, 17 touchdowns running for Dak, 2 for Carson Wentz, and Dak has been sacked a lot less, but he plays behind a better offensive line, but he's also more mobile. So the numbers are really similar. Like, if you're going to have a problem with Dak getting $33, $34 million, then you should probably have a problem with Carson Wentz getting 32. The difference is the one MVP season before he got hurt, Wentz looked like a different level quarterback. To be fair, after he got hurt, Nick Foles came in and won a Super Bowl. So how much of that was Carson? How much of that was the scheme and the team? And Carson Wentz has been not as durable.
Yeah, when you put it that way about Wentz, maybe I need to look closer at Wentz, and maybe I just fell too in love with that flash. But before he went down, he really did look like, I mean, he was MVP caliber.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody's saying that about Dak. Also, the thing about Dak is, what is he without Ezekiel Elliott? Well, he's 4-4 with a 76.3 rating in 8 games when Ezekiel Elliott has not been in his backfield.
Yeah.
Now, that said, the other side of Dak is the guy is more of a playmaker than anybody gives him credit for. And I remember that same thing being that same sort of stigma being directed at Russell Wilson. Whereas people say Russell Wilson's like this system quarterback. A lot of people, just for some reason, they kept saying that about Russell Wilson. And it's like, man, he's just not. Like, Russell Wilson is special. Is Dak a system? Because I've seen him make...
Oh, I thought you were asking if he's special.
Is he either... Like, what I'm saying is, with Dak, like, he is really right on the fence. Mm-hmm. Like, he compares to Russell Wilson in a sense that a lot of people just called Russell Wilson a system guy like they're calling Dak.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson was not. But Dak Prescott, though, is, as you mentioned, what is 28-12 as a starter, you said?
Let me pull it up. He is 29-15.
29-15. Wins game. I mean, he just wins. Mm-hmm. And I remember him making some big plays to win games. And I think even that Seahawks game, right? Didn't they just play?
Well, they played
last year
in the playoffs.
Yep.
And that was, I remember Dak being great at the end of that game. I may be misremembering the game, but he's just a really interesting case study, because I just think with most of these guys, you just know, right?
Yeah.
You knew Alex Smith wasn't getting there and he would fall into X range. You knew Nick Foles wasn't getting there, even though he won a Super Bowl, he'd fall into Y range. Russell Wilson, you knew would break the bank. Cam Newton, you know, is going to... Dak is like, man, you could make a case either way to slot him down a few pegs, or... I could also listen to the argument that guy, Jerry, should pay that guy $34 million a year.
Someone said it best here, and you brought up his name. He's the Alex Smith of this era. Dak is not going to ever be great at pushing the ball downfield. He's not great in obvious passing situations. He's a check down sort of guy, and he makes plays with his legs, and he's athletic, and he moves around. Everyone with the Carson Wentz thing, he's a poor man's Cam Newton. I mean, that's what he is. But he's been durable. Can he hold up? I don't know. That's to be seen. But he hasn't really been hurt. He plays behind a very good offensive line. He plays with an elite back. People will talk about and you brought it up too, that his numbers dip when Elliott's not on the field. His numbers dip when he plays elite defenses, and his numbers dip when he's playing in obvious passing situations. So this is why I say, Dak Prescott is not worth $34 million.
But he's going to get it?
But he's going to get it.
But see, because Alex Smith didn't. Alex Smith fell into the $23 million range. That's what I'm saying.
This is a great text. It says, Dak is the 15th best quarterback asking to set the market.
Yeah.
He is the average quarterback, but he's going to set the market. Why?
Yeah, exactly. That's my question, is if that's true, why? Why is he... Because even Kirk Cousins was the big hot thing, and he didn't even get 30. He's at $28 million a year. The guys that have set the market continually, it's Matt Ryan, Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson. We all agree that Prescott's not in that category, but yet that's how he's going to get paid. What is it? Is it Ezekiel Elliott? Is it the fact that he's for the Dallas Cowboys? It's just more high profile. Is it the fact that they've just been good? They've been better than Alex Smith's teams? What is it? Why is he so different?
I think there's a lot. There's not one answer. I think you hit on a lot of things. I think he's young. He's dynamic. They feel like they're in a window. And if you're Dallas, can you really tell your fans that you're starting over with, God, I don't even know who the Dallas backup is, to be honest with you. You're in a championship window right now. This is the deepest team you've had since those Super Bowl teams. It's a legit Super Bowl type of team. And Dak is not...
Cooper Rush.
Dak is not...
Who?
Going to...
That's a good question. Who the hell is Cooper Rush? Who is Cooper Rush?
He's their backup quarterback.
By the way, I think the
Central
really
Michigan.
The really simple answer to this is he's the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's just that simple.
Yeah, which is why Tony Romo continually got kind of got called overrated and, you know, not worth it. Tony Romo was one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yes.
But because he was with the Dallas Cowboys, he got an extra level of scrutiny. Maybe it's working the other way with Dak.
If Tony Romo played on this Dallas Cowboy team and you took prime Tony Romo, they're much better than the Dak Prescott team.
Oh, of course. Romo's better than Prescott.
Yes, but he won't get paid like it. Again, but if you're Dallas, you cannot take a situation like this and tell your fan base that you aren't going to pay Dak and that you're going to move on from him to go with Cooper Rush or to draft a quarterback. Well, you're in a window right now, which means he will get paid. But if you're Dallas and you give him $40 million a year, you're an idiot.
Right.
And if you're Dak, I mean, God, why? I guess you get out of it, you know, as much as you can. But if he becomes the highest paid quarterback in the league, it's a mistake.
Yeah, of course. Here's the thing. Nobody's saying that they're not going to lock him up. They're gonna figure out a way to get Dak Prescott back. And yes, he deserves to be back. Nobody's arguing that. The question is, where should he fall on the spectrum of quarterback salaries based on average salary per year? That's the question. And I just don't.
In a fair market, honestly, he's a 25 to 30.
25
to 30.
He's in the Garoppolo Stafford car range.
Yes.
That's perfect.
He's going to get more than that though. And I think Mike's right. I think it's because he's more high profile. Dallas Cowboys, they've been winning. And you could argue too. Let me make one more quick thought as you were talking about the Ezekiel Elliott effect. Could it be stated too that Prescott is actually hurt by Ezekiel Elliott in terms of he's handing the ball off a lot, so he can't put up as big a numbers as you want to see him put up?
No, he can't throw the ball. I'll have to pull him up, but if you go look through some of the advanced analytics with him throwing the ball, because his numbers are good. And that's why I said with Carson Wentz, you can look at it, you can make the comparison, but I think Carson Wentz is better than Dak. But I think Carson Wentz is a little bit overrated, and I think Dak in some people's mind is a little bit underrated as a total quarterback. But I still believe that this is a league where you have to beat the teams that are really elite and to win Super Bowls, it is built for you to throw the ball. And if you looked at the advanced metrics in passing situations, Dak Prescott ranks in the bottom 5 or 6 in almost every one of those statistical categories. And the only team that has really succeeded on a somewhat regular basis with a quarterback that's like that is Cam Newton. He has been the one outlier who cannot throw the ball on third down, cannot push the ball downfield on obvious passing situations, and they still get away with it. Now, they've never won a Super Bowl, but Cam's been good, and Carolina has been a contender, and he's won an MVP, and he's gotten there. But I say
they made a Super Bowl, right?
They made a Super Bowl, but they didn't win. The two, and I think, again, just going off the top of my head, but Dak is worst, and I think he's third worst in the NFL at two. The two advanced analytics that I remember, one is, again, obvious third down, so it's third and six. It's third and six and more. Dak, I think, is worst in the league. And then on third and six and more and throwing the ball past the sticks, you're not checking down, right? You're not dumping it out. You have to throw the ball for a first down. I think he's third worst in the NFL over his career. And this is my point, where there is a ceiling on where Dak Prescott can go, at least right now in his career, that if you are relying on him to stand in the pocket and throw for big first downs and conversions, he is one of the very worst in the league.
So he is buoyed by Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes. And a good run game that he ends up in short situations. But on conversions, on third and five, Dallas is one of the worst teams in the NFL at converting because they have a quarterback that struggles. Not that you can't win with that. But to me, if you're paying a guy $35, $36 million in today's NFL, he better damn well be able to throw the ball 5 yards down the field and get first downs.
What if they pay him $32?
Again, I think you're overpaid, but I think that's a lot fairer, and I think that honestly is probably what his fair market value would be. Any more than that, you're inflating it.
Well, Jerry's going to pay him. Jerry's going to get Elliott. He's
going
to get.
Anywhere.
Yeah, they're all going to come back. And Prescott's practicing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, he's out there. He's not holding out like Elliott.
No.
All right. Coming up next, what's up with the A-Rod leaving jewels all over the place? Man, must be nice.
I think it's very nice to be, well, either one of those. It's a power couple.
A-Rod or J-Lo?
Yeah.
Who would you rather be?
I think I'd rather be J-Lo, to be honest with you.
Really? Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that.
I think it's good to be Jennifer Lopez.
I'm going
to
go A-Rod. Well, although A-Rod had a lot of, a lot of scrutiny.
But everyone loves him now, but she's got more money than A-Rod, right?
Everybody loves her. If you're talking about popularity contests, I mean, she blows him out of the water.
Yeah.
She also buoys him.
Like, man. Either way, it's good. It's good to be one of those two.
All right. We'll get to that next. But first, Mike with sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, now I'm ready. I have bird poop news coming up in our next segment, and it is sportsy. Isn't that wild?
We talked about this while you were gone, but...
Oh, you did?
It's a great... Well, it's not a great story. It's a sad story, but...
It's a horrible story, but I can strike it from the list if you guys already covered it. I didn't know that. I was on vacation.
You were on vacation.
Yeah, Shy Wirtz.
Yeah, we did cover it on Friday.
Did you talk... Like, did the cop ever explain... Like...
Yeah, I think we know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can audible. Okay. I'll call an audible on
Razor,
that.
Razor!
But that was the story where the bird poop was on the kids. So he's a Georgia Southern quarterback. His name's Shy Wirtz.
Yeah.
And he got pulled over for speeding, and the officer asked him, hey, what's this substance on the front of your car? And it was bird poop. He made it sound like it was cocaine because he tested it and it turned pink or something.
Well, there's like a field test, and it tested positive for cocaine, and they've got like a video of it, but... The kid didn't pull over right away. He called 911. He called 911 and said, hey, I'm not comfortable pulling over right now. I'm going to go to a more, public area. And because you can do that. You don't have to pull it right away. Mm-hmm. And the cop was like, because he wasn't speeding. He turned on his emergency flashers, called 911, said, hey, this is who I am. This is what's happened. I'm being pulled over. And the cop asked him, what was going on? He told him, I didn't feel safe. You know what's been going on. And I'm sure that set a real nice tone for the officer of the law who then proceeded to test the bird. I mean, come on. Really? Like, that's what the officer thought. He really thought the kid was doing blow and like it was somehow like stuck on the hood of his car. Stop it.
Well,
and by the way, they've done studies in the last 4 or 5 years alone, the stuff that has tested positive for drugs in these field kits. Dude, it's ridiculous. Everything from like maple syrup to... cookies, chocolate, has tested positive. It's like the most unreliable thing in the world.
That's encouraging. Well, anyway, charges dropped.
Yes. And he's not suspended anymore. So he's back. He's fine.
Yeah. Shy Wirtz. Cool name. So we'll get to some other stuff in our next segment then. But here, wanted to discuss A-Rod. Now, you saw that he had a rental car in San Francisco and it got broken into.
Yes. And someone did point out, though, in our battle of would you rather be J-Lo or A-Rod, said you'd rather be A-Rod because then you get to, party with J-Lo every night. Well,
that's true.
It's a valid point.
Yeah, and if you're J-Lo, then you have to sleep with A-Rod. Yeah, nobody wants that.
Case closed. Now, it's better to be A-Rod.
Can I ask maybe a stupid question? Who's worth more?
I would think Jennifer Lopez, right?
I don't know.
I would assume J-Lo.
Probably J-Lo, but...
Most of the time, the entertainers are going to be worth more.
But hasn't she been through a couple divorces? Well, let's see.
$400 million, according to Celebrity Net Worth.
And that's
Anthony,
J-Lo?
Right?
Yeah, that's J-Lo.
So what do you think A-Rod's worth?
Let me look this up. See what you got.
Well, he made how much did he make? He probably made $400 million.
Yeah.
They're saying A-Rod's estimated net worth $300 million.
Okay.
Well, this says
so it's a battle.
Another one saying $350 million. So you're right there.
It's a battle.
It sounds like
you think that's a big thing in their relationship.
They're close.
I bet it is.
No.
They put those little papers on the wall every day that shows their moving net worth.
That's right.
Well, who pays for?
He's like, I'm gonna go get a different financier. Baby, watch out. I'm coming for you.
Who pays for what?
I don't know.
Like, normally you go out, like, what's the hierarchy? Like, hey, I'm worth
$400 million.
At
that point, does it really matter?
No, probably
it doesn't.
Probably
who gets dinner? Picks up the check?
They probably trade off every other day.
A-Rod's just riding her coattails.
There was a really cool, Sports Illustrated does like a Where Are They
He's
Now
milking that
sort of thing every year. They did one a couple weeks back, and A-Rod was on the cover of it, and it was a really interesting read. He's a complex guy, but it talked about his relationship with Jennifer Lopez, and sounds like he's in a really good place, and it wasn't always the case. He really struggled with being Alex Rodriguez.
Well, yeah, because he got so much scrutiny.
Yeah.
But
and he's a sensitive guy.
He is sensitive, and he admits it. I actually have begun to like him because I think he's a pretty decent broadcaster, and that's when he kind of, I don't know, flipped the narrative for me.
Yep.
But it is interesting when these guys play. You know, A-Rod, we never really got to know A-Rod.
No, right? It was all sanitized. It was fake.
Well, that, and he just kind of didn't, I mean, he didn't really engage. Like, you never really got to know him like some of the other guys. And a lot of it was because he was just obviously so scrutinized. And another guy that comes to mind, too, and maybe I'm just saying this because we got to know him a little bit, but Ken Griffey Jr. was like this. Mm-hmm. When he played, he had a horrible reputation. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, because we've golfed with Ken Griffey Jr. and gotten to know him a little bit in some charity functions. And
couldn't be a nicer guy.
He is one of the nicest guys you will ever meet. And I just think there's a lot of people that don't know that and think of him as pretty aloof and kind of a jerk because of the way he handled the media when he played, which was kind of like, I don't care. I'm not talking to you.
Well,
and it really hurt his reputation. I think A-Rod kind of has a little bit of that going with him too.
Well, and he battled some demons like social anxiety. In fact, God, I don't want to Jim J. Bullock this, but I think Griffey had a suicide attempt really early on in his minor league career when he was coming into the bigs as well. He really struggled with fame and all that. But in that Sports Illustrated article, Alex Rodriguez talks about that Jennifer Lopez has helped him be himself. He talks about, and he's pretty open. Aww. He talks about in that article that he was never comfortable just letting himself, I don't know, be known and be out there, that everything had to be a brand and very corporate. And he's a OCD kind of taskmaster sort of thing. And he says that Jennifer Lopez is really used to being famous and giving interviews, and says that she has been a godsend in getting him to relax and just let him be himself. And she kind of coaches him through things now, how to relax and just be himself. And he gives her a lot of credit with kind of this new 2.0 version of Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. Taking craps in public.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, he was in the comforts of his own home.
Yeah. Just the paparazzi lens.
But yeah, that's an interesting.
Yeah. It's a good article. You should go back and read it.
Well, they're a pretty interesting couple. I mean, they got a lot going on. It's just that he was, who leaves $500,000 worth of stuff in a rental car?
Alex.
Good grief.
Alex Rodriguez does.
So he was in San Francisco. He had a rental car broken into, stolen items.
How much
items.
Is that for him? Like 10 bucks?
Well, you could do the math on it.
A couple hundred maybe. I don't know. It's like you losing maybe like 250, 300 bucks.
What'd they say? He had a camera, a laptop, jewels, electronic equipment. I mean, good grief.
I'm guessing those jewels were not like, you know, cheapo Fred Meyer jeweler sort of things.
Like if you had that much stuff on you.
You just had like diamonds sitting in the cup holder.
Right. It's like, it's just so hard for me to grasp. Like,
well, it's true. But like, remember when Le'Veon Bell
got. What does this look like?
Le'Veon Bell got like his jewelry robbed and like clothes from his by the two naked ladies. And they're like, how much is it worth? And he's like, I don't know, like $2-3 million. You had $2-3 million worth of stuff like in your bedroom to steal? You could rob my whole house and like come up with like $49.95.
I just feel like, think about this. Like if you had those jewels that A-Rod had on you.
Yeah, I'm not leaving them in a car.
How paranoid you would be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I do that with my stupid iPad.
I know. It's like type
you underneath the seat.
If you have to leave it in the car, you're wrapping it in 9 sweatshirts and hiding it. Like no one will know.
Right.
I know.
And his team is saying that the stolen items were nowhere near $500,000 in value. But the point is, he left a lot of nice stuff in his rental car. Come on, A-Rod.
Well,
you think J-Lo let him have it over that?
No, they probably don't care because they're like, whatever, it's 10 bucks.
That's coming out of your allowance.
Yeah.
No. Now I'm just picturing.
Oh,
him having an allowance from Jennifer Lopez.
She might give him a little allowance.
A little like dominatrix thing going on.
Well, that was her last.
Well, he's only worth a piddly $350 million.
Yeah, she's north of 400. She lets him know.
That reminds me. There is somebody texted this in, so we'll just throw it in right here. But I was going to talk about it once I went home and watched it. It's in my queue. But have you heard of the Screwball show that's on Netflix?
No, I haven't. Well, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
We all need to watch that because apparently it's really good. Screwball is the name of the documentary. It's on Netflix.
It's about the roids, right?
It's Balco. It's about Balco.
Yeah.
And it's the guy who did it is the Miami guy. He's big. I forget his name.
That's Biogenesis, the Miami.
Oh, guy. Biogenesis, right. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's the guy from Miami who covered all of that.
Yeah, Balco is the Bonds one in San Francisco. Yeah. Biogenesis is the one that got
with A-Rod. Yeah, in Miami. And this guy has done a lot of other stuff in Miami, and he put out a Netflix documentary called Screwball that we all need to watch, okay?
I'll put that on the queue.
It apparently comes highly recommended. And this guy is a right, too, in the Better You Today text line at 55305. One other point here. Isn't it funny how everybody loves A-Rod now and hates Derek Jeter?
Yeah.
What if I had told you that, I don't know, 12 years ago?
Yeah, that one would go on post-career, that one would be universally mocked and the other one would have like a love fest.
What would you have said to me? You would have laughed in my face.
Zero chance of that happening.
Yeah.
How about that?
You would have laughed just like this.
I still love Derek Jeter.
The world is a funny place, man.
Isn't it? I mean, you just never know, man.
Yeah, you may still love him, but his reputation is kind of mud.
Well, he came across terrible in that
HBO
Marlins
Sports
interview.
Yeah, he was all sweaty and just...
And that's the other thing. We were talking about A-Rod. See, this is so funny. A-Rod and Griffey, like, kind of misunderstood guys, right?
Sure.
Jeter never gave interviews. Like, he was the same way as A-Rod and as...
Griffey,
but for some reason beloved.
Yeah.
And they were all great players.
Yeah.
So what was the difference?
Personality, maybe.
But what we're learning is that Jeter doesn't have that great of a personality. He just hit it.
Yeah, just a perception.
Griffey did.
Well, I think one was better at handling fame than the other two.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, they just handled the media better.
Sure. And I think that goes for a lot of people in how you're perceived.
Yeah. All right, we got to go. Coming up next. Oh, by the way, quick update on the Oregon softball Little League team. 1-1 ninth, 1-1 in the sixth inning, bottom of the sixth. Elimination game. Big game. Big game. Mike, keep him posted on that, will you? Don't kill me. Mike is threatening to kill me. I'm going to HR with this. Not happy.
Dusty
on Sports
Talk.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, before I was so rudely cut off, I was telling you that the Oregon team in the Little League Softball World Series is tied 1-1 with North Carolina. This is an elimination game, and it has moved to the top of the seventh, still tied.
Is softball, by the way, the only sport where you don't have to wear, like, the uniform is very, like, hat, no hat, visor versus hat. Is there another sport where you can not wear or wear a different part of uniform than any other?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Like, if you're a basketball player, you can't just like throw on some pants or like
Lillard just rolls out with a hat next year?
Yeah, I mean,
he's got an Adidas hat on.
He's like wearing a backwards hat. He's like, hey, I'm wearing this. You know, or
yeah, I don't know.
It's just, it's odd in that, you know, all three are acceptable. No hat, visor, or hat. And I'm like, is there another? Because I was looking, they were spanning the...
Well, you have to wear a helmet when you bat. In softball.
Yes.
And the pitchers here wear the protective gear.
I don't think you have to, though. I think that is a...
Oh, really?
That's a preference. At least as you get older, I know that you don't have to, but most of them do.
Hmm. Final sports note. Mike's Yankees are beating the Orioles again.
Hmm.
It is 8-2 tonight. The Yankees have beaten Baltimore 15 times in 17 tries this season.
Do you even feel good about beating them anymore, or do you just feel sad, like empty inside?
I don't feel empty at all. They're wins. All wins are good wins. Thanks, Baltimore.
Do you feel like maybe your team is a fraud because they've padded their
15
record
win total with the Orioles?
With wins over the O's?
No. No, I don't. Because the way that they're beating the Orioles is sensational.
Look up their record against 500 teams or better. See what it is.
Well, they've also owned the Red Sox. So.
Well, the Red Sox, the Red Sox aren't that good either way.
So they've beaten. So they're about to beat Baltimore. It's in the bottom
of
the
sixth. They've also owned Tampa. So.
Have they?
They've played really well against Tampa, yeah.
Yeah, the Yankees are good. All right, fine.
Damn it.
But they are going to be 16-2 against Baltimore, which is unbelievable. And they have several more games left. They have hit another home run against Baltimore tonight. DJ LeMahieu hit a home run. So that means that the Yankees have now hit 60 home runs in the 18 games against Baltimore.
Good Lord.
That is by far a major league record. The previous record was the Yankees over the A's with 48 against them in 1956. They've already hit 60.
Well, we were playing the clips a while back of when Gleyber Torres only had like 10 home runs against the Orioles, and the Oriole announcer is like, again, Gleyber Torres. Just disgusted and numb.
That was the noise he made after he hit one.
Gary Thorne.
He has 13 now against them.
Yeah, he hit three more. So they played a doubleheader yesterday.
Yeah.
Gleyber Torres hit three more home runs against Baltimore. He has 13 of his 26 home runs this year against that stupid team.
And by the way, the Yankees.
That's unbelievable.
The Yankees are 13 games above 500 against good teams. So they're doing fine.
Against good teams, what do you mean? Above, like teams of over 500?
Yeah, they do the teams above 500 under. And
I didn't want that metric to be so good, but it is.
In fact, the only looking... yeah, there's a couple teams that are actually better than they are, but not many. They're certainly towards the top.
Who has fared the best against the Yankees this year?
I'll look and see if I can find that.
Don't say Royals.
I'd have to look and do a deeper dive and see if there's some splits I can look up.
Well, they have the team by team grid here. I'll pull it up.
I'm just on
what, Baseball Reference or something? You can find the team.
Yeah, you can find
team.
Them all here.
I was just on MLB and I was looking through and I didn't see it.
Oh, look at this! The Yankees this season are 3-4 against the White Sox.
Suck it, Yankees!
The Yankees are horrible.
You're owned by the Sox.
What a joke!
Is that the worst record?
That, and they're also 3-4 against the Astros.
That one actually is relevant.
That would be the worst record.
By the way, the Astros, by the way, have the best record against quality teams in the bigs. They are 41-26.
Who has given the Astros the most trouble, you say?
Not the Mariners.
Tampon Bay.
Oh, Tampon Bay Rays?
Yeah, 1-3. The Rays took 3 of 4 from the Astros.
You know, sometimes, though, that can actually, you can look at those because you'll see a team that either a wild card team or they win a bad division and their record looks pretty good. And then you look against quality teams and there are teams that pad huge numbers in their stats by beating up on garbage teams, but don't beat playoff teams.
Two things here. One, Gleyber Torres now has 13 home runs against Baltimore. He has not hit one tonight.
He is their daddy.
But the record for most home runs in a season against one team by one player is Lou Gehrig hit 14 against the Indians in 1936. So Gleyber has a chance to do that. The second thing is I normally don't root for the favorites. I like chaos in the Major League Baseball postseason. Mm-hmm. But this year I would jump right to an Astros-Dodgers rematch. I think that would be fantastic.
See it again.
Those two teams are so good. And I just saw that Rich Hill's coming back for the Dodgers and he's going to the bullpen. How many teams in baseball would take Rich Hill and Ross Stripling as their 1-2 starting pitcher combo?
And they're in the pen.
And they're in the Dodgers pen.
Yeah.
So give me Dodgers Astros, right meow.
And you're fine with it?
I'm happy with that. Normally, like I said, normally I like the upsets.
Sure.
I would like to see them rematch.
I certainly can't complain. I wouldn't mind seeing New York because I think the Yankees are interesting just as long as they lose in the World Series.
What about Yankees-Mets? Dare to dream, Big Zook.
I can't dream.
Dare to dream, baby.
I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop.
All right.
Memories of 2000 circling.
Jeffrey Epstein and Fredo... What's that guy's name? Cuomo? Fredo Cuomo.
Cuomo.
You read this story?
Old Chris.
Chris Cuomo in the news today. We'll get to those items to kick off the club next on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.